This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
I expect a bipartisan vote on restoring this swath of devastation that is not finishing today. It's continuing. It's going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We don't know how much more damage we're going to face. Right now, City Hall is underwater.
Yeah, City Hall is underwater, and that, of course, is Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee. And she understands about things that are happening in Houston, Texas, of course, and talks about, as a representative for Texas's 18th congressional district, what is happening in Houston, happening in a few other places in and around South Texas, and New Orleans is bracing as well for Tropical Storm Harvey. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I always say it's about the buzz in your backyard, and the buzz in your backyard and mine is all about these horrific images that we are frankly seeing that are coming out of, well, you know, these devastated areas, especially Houston, because of the amount of people who find themselves knee-deep, waist-deep, over their head-deep in a wall of water. And 30,000 people are going to be driven into shelters, they say, because by Saturday, 50 inches of rain will have fallen in some areas there. Do you know what it includes? That you've got, of all the things to think about, imagine the water, imagine the alligators, imagine what is floating around in the water, let alone every single thing else that they're dealing with there. And the questions of what next? What happens next? You know, pets, kids, older people, there have been a lot of challenges, obviously, in trying to rescue so many these nursing home people who were rescued from the floodwaters. Because what happened? People tried to do whatever they could. Coast Guard rescues were all over the place, and they were a huge part of that. But if they hadn't been there and hadn't been able to get to them, I can't even imagine they would have survived that. And what I think a lot of people are saying is, did we learn anything from Katrina? So what could have been done differently? And really, honestly, now's not the time for the people there to handicap it, because they've got to continue to rescue the people who desperately need it, because there's going to be more people that are going to find themselves in that precarious state, not expecting that they would be part of it because of where they lived and the fact that they had to release water from a dam and that flooded neighborhoods where they weren't expecting that they were going to be, maybe in that scenario, that they were going to somehow be able to avoid what had happened to so many other people. And the answer is that water is coming from all directions. Hurricane Harvey is not being picky at all. I mean, the images are unbelievable. And that's the key thing. The key thing I think of this is the fact that so many people are doing whatever they can to help, whether it's pulling people out of houses, whether it's helping people when they are walking down in the middle of the highway and they're buried in water and grabbing anything they can to help them. So with Tropical Storm Harvey now drifting near the Texas coast, 40 miles east-northeast of Port O'Connor, it's moving back into the Gulf of Mexico, but it's going to meander over in that direction for a while, and it's certainly going to continue to blow water all over Houston. And then going north, Louisiana is in the path, because you've got Texas devastated by floods. And look out to my friends in Louisiana, and to so many of you sending me notes from the great 990 AM WGSO, our fabulous affiliate there. Anything we can do here on America Tonight, we're telling people to donate blood, money, clothing, all that kind of stuff. But the key thing is how bad is this going to be as Harvey is turning to Louisiana? There have already been several parishes in southwestern Louisiana that are federal disaster areas as of Monday. You've got the president who's going to visit some of the hard-hit areas, who's going to stop by Louisiana on Saturday. I mean, it's just a historic amount of water. There's never been anything like this, certainly in Texas. And boy, oh boy, looking at Louisiana is pretty scary, too. Pretty scary, too, as well. Impressive how everybody has scrambled to help, though. I mean, even the Louisiana governor, John Bel Edwards, says, look, we expect significant damage, of course, and already asked a day ago, 2 days ago, for an emergency declaration. And there was a quick response, and that was it. And the worst is yet to come, probably. But there's no way to know for sure. Some of the Louisiana parishes could get up to 20 inches of rain. So, of course, that's flash flood territory. There's flood warnings and watches and all kinds of alarms going off for people to say, look out. Where's the shelter? What's your support? How are you getting where? And they just are constantly updating everybody in some of these parishes. But the efforts after Katrina and knowing how to connect the dots, I think, is so at play in Louisiana, which is fantastic. I talked to someone today from FEMA and talked about what was going to happen in Texas. They're going to be there for years, for sure, they believe, with a rebuilding. And they think Louisiana, of course, scrambled quickly to do whatever, whatever they could do, a lot of these parishes, to try to make sure people were going to be out of harm's way or they could get to them quickly if they had to. Because, boy, these people, you know, certainly understand what it's like to deal with the tragedy of the wall of water. It's terrible. Just when you least expect it, it washes over you. It's unbelievable. In the meantime, speaking of washing over you, it's not about the flood and the reaction and the donations, which, of course, there's been amazing donations, by the way. Not just people to Red Cross, but, I mean, I'm talking about people dumping huge amounts of money donation-wise when it comes to the owner of the Astros, $4 million, the owner of the Texans, millions of dollars. And you see the signs, and you see the water just pouring in all over the place, and you see downtown Houston, where it says, pray for Houston. Just pray for Houston. And you had all kinds of famous people donating money, like Kevin Hart, $25,000 to the American Red Cross, The Rock, Beyonce, Justin Timberlake. Anyone who has big money is jumping in some pretty decent money, too. And then just the regular peeps reaching in their wallet for at least a $10 donation. It's amazing how quickly that ratchets up and helps. Stay with us.
BuySellMakeOffer.com is better than ever. I'm Pat Matthews, here to tell you that BuySellMakeOffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just upped the ante. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and click the Sign Me Up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what your store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from or selling to. So unused household items, as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, real estate, the possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees, no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up, too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at buysellmakeoffer.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Time, perhaps he would fall into a deep sleep. But for now, he's trying to make the rest of us fall into a deep sleep, or challenge us anyway, because North Korea shot a missile over northern Japan. Yeah, they did it, lobbed it. 14 minutes in the air. It landed in the water off of a northern area of an island on Tuesday. So that just ratchets up the problems, the tension. You can feel it. The test, they believe, was an intermediate range, they call it, missile, which came down when the U.S. and South Korean forces were doing their annual military drills on the peninsula, which, of course, North Korea doesn't like that. But they threatened to fire missiles into the sea. The whole Guam thing, remember that? We're going to go after Guam. There's a lot of Americans on Guam. In fact, Ellen Ratner used to have a place on Guam, a woman who calls the show many times from Talk Media News. So the Trump warned that Pyongyang is going to face fire and fury if they continue to threaten the U.S. If they threaten the U.S., of course, that's what he's saying. U.S. threat, it was, I think, more in the face of Japan, but it is definitely a fist shake toward us. The Japanese Prime Minister, wants a meeting at the United Nations to strengthen, he says, measures against Pyongyang because the test was obviously a violation of UN resolutions. We see how that goes. And the government protested against the move in what they would say was the strongest terms they could possibly protest. So this is serious. Did you need me to tell you that? I mean, to fly over Japan in your face is what North Korea is saying. That's what Kim Jong-un is doing by doing whatever he can to clearly violate the resolutions. If you remember, North Korea fired what they said was a rocket carrying a communication satellite into orbit over Japan in 2009. This isn't good. So in Japan, bullet trains were stopped. Warnings went out over loudspeakers in towns like Hokkaido. The market reacted to the escalating tension. It is scary all the way around. And just so you know, that missile, it broke into three pieces and boom, fell into the waters of Hokkaido. And the Japanese military didn't try to shoot it down. It happened at about 6:07 specifically in the morning. And we know this. Look, the United States and South Korea technically are still at war with the North because of the conflict, the 50-53 conflict that ended in a truce, not a peace treaty. But the North is saying, we're not going to give up our weapons programs. We're not doing it. North Korea asked the UN Security Council to meet to talk about the U.S.-South Korean military drills. Oh, my. This is just what we needed, right? Just what we needed. And there were new sanctions. Look, there's 15 members that are part of the UN Security Council. They unanimously imposed new sanctions on North Korea because they already responded to a couple of long-range missile launches back in July. So now you have to get into the mind of this creepy dictator and think, what is he trying to do? Who is he trying to provoke? Because he's a provoker. Is it just Japan? Is it the United States? Is it a combination? Is it the world? What's up his sleeve? Is it just fun and games and in your face? Yeah. So in the meantime, while that's going on, there is the Joe Arpaio controversy. The former sheriff of Maricopa County, member in Arizona, I applauded him for his pink prison garb that he made criminal illegals wear back in the day. Arpaio was pardoned by Donald Trump, by the president. And since then, there have been a lot of people applauding that decision and some attacking it. Trump praised Arpaio, however, at a press conference on Monday. He defended his pardon. He said, look, he's very strong on borders, very strong on illegal immigration. I thought he was treated unbelievably unfairly when they came down with their big decision to go get him right before the election voting started. He said he's a patriot. And then he also listed off several pardons and sentences that were commuted by President Bill Clinton and Barack Obama for people involved in tax evasion, terrorist acts, disclosing national secrets, that kind of thing. So he went down a whole list there. And he's faced a lot of criticism from some Republicans even, including both Arizona senators and, of course, a whole bunch of Democrats. So Arpaio moves on and talks about office. He says he's going to help Republican candidates. He doesn't want to be a candidate, but he says he will help them for all the backing that he got. So Sheriff Joe, No jail time, no anything. He's out. He's pardoned. And it's true. There's always a long list of those pardoned. However, it was an unusual move, but this is what Trump saw happening and decided, why are we waiting for this? So he makes his move. In the meantime, while all of that is going on, the discussion continues over what's going to happen once the floods recede in Houston, in parts of other parts of Texas, South Texas, in some of those parishes in Louisiana. Well, of course, it's about, right, rebuilding. Rebuilding in areas that in some cases may end up costing a fortune to rebuild. So some home builders, especially those that have a lot of business in Houston, of course, they're watching the flood waters wash over one of the biggest areas, because this is our fourth biggest city, for single family construction. The home building index collapsed or fell by 1.9%. because of all the building. So now you're going to see kind of a slowdown because of the damage to the construction sites. And then there'll be delays in land development. And then there'll be competition for labor because workers are going to be needed all over the place. Which could be a good thing if there's a flood of people that can get there that need the work. Wow. And they have to wait. I mean, of course, you got to wait till the rain stops. You got to wait till everything drains, and until everything's safe. So who knows how that bounces back. There's so many effects of Harvey in so many different areas, including gas. Gasoline for all of us could go up by 30-35%. The refineries, so many of the refineries, in fact, the biggest ones, excuse me, had to be closed. So with that happening, there's going to be a problem. Hello, Houston. We have a big problem. And the big problem comes in the form of the refineries being off. And then is there any damage, by the way, to the refineries through these storms? Devastating. And it's incredibly devastating. And thank goodness for social media. For once, as much as we can complain about social media, thank goodness for social media, because that's how a lot of people are being rescued, and that's how a lot of the word is getting out about various shelters. Coming up next, Forbes Books at Bedtime. Stay with us.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Greg, we have a terrific guest with us this time around, Tara Nicole Nelson. She is the founder and CEO of Transformational Consumer Insights. Ooh, I like that name. She's the former VP of Marketing for MyFitnessPal, now part of Under Armour, where she led a team that grew the platform to over 100 million customers. Woo!
Through brand, me, by the way.
Yeah, me too. Brand growth, engagement, content, digital, social media, media relations. She's a smart cookie. She's got a master's degree in psychology and a Juris Doctorate from the University of California, Berkeley. She's the board president of City Slicker Farms, a nonprofit food justice organization in West Oakland. I've actually heard of that as well. Tara, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So my first question is a layup question. What is transformational consumer? What are they? What is a transformational consumer?
Yeah, it's really like a customer segment. So think of it in a similar vein to the way that people think about like millennials or baby boomers or moms for business and marketing purposes. But the transformational consumer is a massive and growing segment of people who looks at all of their life as a series of projects to change their behavior for the healthier, wealthier, and wiser. They are very optimistic people, okay? They believe that everything in their lives can be changed, but they know that, like, the linchpin to actually making those changes in their lives is their own behavior, and they know that behavior change is really, really hard. So they're constantly out there looking for the products, the services, the content that can can help them make these hard changes. So for those reasons, they tend to be early adopters. They're very experimental with lots of new kinds of products. Their personal brands and their own circles of friends tend to be, hey, like that's the gal that's always starting a side business or studying for a certification or trying a new food philosophy. So they're highly influential on the buying behavior of the people in their lives because those people tend to always be asking them for recommendations to things. And I just like to say, if you've been like vegan and paleo at different times in your life, you're probably a transformational consumer. But it's not just that like granola crunchy sort of health nut West Coast kind of demographic. It's also a lot of entrepreneurs, people who tend to listen to podcasts to get better at things, people who tend to, you know, read business books to evolve their businesses. All of those kinds of people tend to be transformational consumers.
We're talking with Tara Nicole Nelson. She's the author of the new book, The Transformational Consumer. You got to love the subtitle of this book, Fuel a Lifelong Love Affair with Your Customers. You can turn this around, too, because we're the customers and companies are trying to fuel a lifelong love affair with us. Fuel a lifelong love affair with your customers by helping them get healthier, wealthier, and wiser. And, you know, Tara, I heard this really interesting story. Kate and I were recently at a conference of an organization called the Women Presidents Organization. So there were 800 women there. Every one of them had a business that was making $2 million or more. Some of them in, you know, $50 million and way more than that. But one of the things we heard over and over again is that this is not just a consumer issue for companies. It's also an HR issue for companies because we heard that, yeah, a lot of companies are, if they're doing bad things in the background, millennials in particular will not go to work for them because where they work is part of their identity. Can you talk about that?
I think it's millennials more than we've seen in other generational segments. I think it's transformational consumers in large part too. I talk about this a lot in the book, actually. Like your consumer audiences, in my mind, I think of them as your external consumers or your customers. Your internal consumers are your employees. And one thing that I have thought about and said a lot to the companies that I work with in my company is that any company at any stage in any, like everybody's looking for that trick, for that thing that releases the limiting factor on their growth. And what I have seen time and time again is that any kind of company, no matter what you sell, no matter what stage you're in, will thrive if it consistently engages these two audiences over and over again, your customers and your employees, right? And when transformational consumers are in your employee set, they look at their work as a huge part of the way that they get healthier or less healthy, right? Think about stress management at work. Mm. Think about the fact that...
And what's in the vending machine?
In the vending machine, in the cafeteria, the dreaded sort of break room donut box, I have studied that thing a lot in my career because it's a major, you know, there's a reason that junk food is ubiquitous and it's one of the big hurdles that people have to get over when they're trying to eat better, which is, you know, something I've studied a lot in my career. I cannot emphasize enough how understanding the changes that people want to make, and this is actually a really opportune moment to start talking about what healthier, wealthier, and wiser mean, because the whole book is about shifting from the way you think about your company and your business and what you sell to the way that your customers do, internal and external audiences, right? So, like, wealthier includes productivity and time management. It includes collaboration and being better at your work so that you can be more efficient and spend more time with your family and doing the other things you want to do in your life. Wiser includes anything that's around self-actualization or like living more fully into the potential you feel like you were put on this planet with. So this construct applies equally to internal and external audiences. And in fact, the last chapter of the book is all about how to rethink your culture into a fear-free workplace, a place where people are able to use their work, no matter what sector you work in, to lift other people up, because the transformational consumers in your company will constantly be looking to leave and go elsewhere if they don't feel like they can do those things at work.
Yet if we take the technology aspect of what you're saying and what we're doing with apps and looking at apps and technology and melding that and helping those consumers achieve those goals, what are the other biggest mistakes you see tech companies making in terms of the actual product design?
Yeah, I would zoom like one tiny step up from that and say the biggest problem that I see tech companies making is a worldview problem. It's that they look at their interactions with customers through the lens of their product first, versus trying to understand the world and think about the way that they connect with customers through the lens of the real world problems that their customers are trying to solve when they might encounter the product, right? So, like, this is a matter of the sort of worldview difference. I'll try to explain with an example. So if you are a tech company and you've been given the marching orders of, like, engage people more frequently, right? It's like the dirty little secret of every app, that you can get people to download the app. You can actually just advertise enough and get people to download the app. You can't, like, pay people to use the app over and over again, right? So engagement on an app in the app world is, like, the holy grail. That is the thing that builds a long-term sustainable business. So if you give a product-first team the marching order of, like, engage people more, they send them a bunch of annoying push notifications.
I've never seen that. Like, has that ever happened to you, Kate? Have you ever experienced that?
Right? And push notifications that have nothing to do with anything. You know, it's like a sales thing. If we get enough of them out there to enough people will click through, our engagement number will get up. Everybody uninstalls the app because it's that annoying. But with a product-first lens, you're not, like, thinking that far ahead. If you are a problem-first company, all you're fixated on are what are the things we could do. Like, what is our customer's real-world journey from having the problem they have to no longer having that problem? And what is every opportunity we could take to remove frictions along that journey? So, for example, at MyFitnessPal, once we started to think about our customers in that way, we, like, actually just started innovating whole new product feature sets. Once we realized that eating out was a place where people were getting stuck a lot of the time on logging, we just created a bunch of restaurant logging tools and a bunch of partnerships with restaurants so we could have their data in the database, right? So it causes you to make really different choices about where you focus your feature development roadmap when you're thinking about your whole company through the lens of how can we make our customers' journey easier, smoother, more beautiful, more effective.
We're talking with Tara Nicole Nelson. She's the author of the book, The Transformational Consumer, and you either are one or you're not one. But the truth is, I think people are happier when they're transformational consumers, aren't they? Is that a fair assumption to make?
I for sure think that people are more optimistic and they feel like they are living in flow if they are a transformational consumer. Because everybody kind of wants to be healthier, wealthier, and wiser, right? Like, there's no one you're going to ask, do you want to be healthier, wealthier, and wiser, and then be like, no, I don't, I would, I'm fine.
I think people think they want to be healthier, wealthier, and wiser.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, if I go to Costco, I don't necessarily think I'm seeing a lot of people that are doing what it takes to be healthier, wealthier, and wiser.
There is the difference. That is one of the defining characteristics of the transformational consumer, is that they actually are doing something together. Yeah. Right?
So, and your book is designed to give them, and your book is designed to give marketers the tools to help them do that.
To give marketers and businesses, product designers in any sector, entrepreneurs, executives, because the truth is, say you're just the marketer, unless your company is extraordinarily evolved, you can serve as the voice of the customer, but if your product is not actually removing frictions along your customer's transformational journey, I call it, like, health washing. You've heard the phrase greenwashing, where people take a product and just put, like, say it's greener than it actually is. Health washing is like that. It's where you see all these product claims that are just, like, very vague, like, all natural, which means nothing, right? Like,
yeah.
When you see marketing being really on board with the idea of this and no other team in the company is, you start to see real disconnects that cause customers to kind of call BS on whether your product is actually living up to your advertising claims. So the book is actually, like, for kind of everybody in the company, and I talk a lot in there about how important it is that every team in the company be operating on the same understanding of the customer's journey. But you are 100% right. Transformational consumers are those people who are always out there doing something, trying to actually make healthier, wealthier, and wiser happen. And they do influence other people. There are other people in their lives that kind of shift from inert to inaction on transformational objectives because they have observed someone in their life make progress. We've seen that a lot, actually. People who were like, I'd like to be healthier, but I don't even think it's a thing that's really possible for me. See someone very close to them, a relative or whatever, start to make changes and get inspired to make those changes themselves. There are some people who shift from non-transformational to transformational.
Perfect place to end this. Tara Nicole Nelson, the founder and CEO of Transformational Consumer Insights. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FiveStarsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Did you know children are 52 times more likely to suffer from identity theft than adults? Credit alerts will not fix the fallout. Liberty ID does, and here's an exciting offer just for you. Go to LibertyID.com and cover your entire family, your spouse, your children, and your parents for only $129 a year. Use promo code FREETRIAL and we'll give you the first 60 days free. That's LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL. LibertyID.com. LibertyID.com.
With us here on America Tonight, Dr. Mark Swedan. He is the Vice Chair for Neurological Surgery and Director of Pediatric Neurological Surgery at the Weill Cornell Medicine Brain and Spine Center. Dr. Swedan, thanks so much for coming on with us, because what we're talking about sadly has affected two of my friend's children. We're talking about pediatric brain tumors, and you know, one of the things, and you would know the acronym better, but DIPG. First of all, for people listening, tell us about DIPG and the severity of that and what happens to these kids. It's like a serial killer.
Yeah, thanks for the invite, Kate, to begin with. And I'm sorry to hear that friends of yours have been afflicted by this. DIPG, diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma, is one subset of tumors in children that affect the brain, and more precisely what's called the brain stem. The brain stem is the, if you will, the relay center between the brain proper and everything that happens below the neck. It's a very vital area, very tight, compact area where are these tumors that with consistency kill these children with a median survival of just shy of a year.
Wow. And so you just recently presented the results of your phase one clinical trial for the use of a better medication delivery system in these children with what we just talked about, DIPG. So tell us about that.
The clinical trial really is a result of a very ambitious effort to improve the outcome for these children. And for decades, and for as long as I've ever known about DIPG or interested in pediatric brain tumors, that the survival curves and expectations were never improved in that 30, 40-year interval. So we embarked on a very adventurous way to be more effective in getting chemotherapeutic agents into the area of interest, namely the brainstem. And it's very well known that when you administer chemotherapy by an oral or intravenous route, that a very, very small fraction of that drug gets into the brain and hence the brain tumor. So the normal routes of administration are extremely ineffectual and inefficient for getting drug concentrations where we want them in the brain of these children. So this design is based on a simplistic idea, and that is directly administer the chemotherapy into the tumor, right? Sounds very logical and simplistic. And why shouldn't we be doing it? Why shouldn't we be doing it? It's because it is a surgical intervention, and you're also embarking on one of the most vital functions or structures of the brain, namely the brain stem. So it's illogical to think that you can place a catheter in the brain stem and infuse volumes of fluid that would be containing the chemotherapeutic agent. So that's what we set out to do. That was the first 15-plus years of my career. And as you mentioned, we reported on our phase one, or what would you call toxicity-seeking, you know, clinical trial at the American Society of Clinical Oncology this past spring. And delightfully, we saw that we could do this in children safely with a very, very good efficiency, that we could get thousand-fold higher concentrations of drug in the area of interest safely without affecting anything in the rest of the body. So the foundation was validated without question.
Wow, that's incredible, because, and to really drive this home, as you said, so much of your life has been spent doing this, and we talk about the brainstem, and again, to put it in perspective for people listening, it's just very difficult to get to that area, isn't it, without doing any other kind of damage?
Yeah, there are tumors and lesions within the brainstem that neurosurgeons consistently will go after and remove very effectively. Benign tumors, well-circumscribed lesions, but those differ in that they are focal. Those differ in that they reach the surface of the brainstem. It affords us a route in, and there's a very clean line of demarcation that we can carefully identify at the time of surgery. These tumors, DIPG, and other infiltrative gliomas, have that word assigned to them, infiltrative, meaning that they entwine themselves within the normal cellular structure of all the pathways and complex nuclei in the brainstem that make it an impossibility to remove these. And even if one can go in and take out the majority of these tumors, we know that the invasive front has escaped surgical treatment and will recur on those margins. So a much different growth pattern than other lesions that we will willfully go after in the brainstem.
We're speaking with Dr. Mark Sway Dan from Cornell Weill. And so in talking about this, I mean, this has got to be amazing, the amount that you're able to measure here, the amount of kind of like a treasure trove of information that you're finding out. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, what it's done is opened up a huge door of potential. And, you know, whether we have everything right with the phase one study is left unsaid until we start looking more diligently at optimal dose and then challenging ourselves to see if we can do better than historical controls. But at this point in time, the exciting component of this is now we've shown we can do this. So this opens up a huge potential with regard to agents that have been left by the wayside because they cause systemic toxicity. Agents that are very promising in the laboratory, but we know they don't cross what's called the blood-brain barrier. So now there's great potential for introducing either old agents or innovative agents. Now there's the potential of integrating creating agents that were prohibitive from the standpoint of systemic toxicity. So there's a whole wide spectrum of agents that can now be either re-explored or introduced into a tumor that has escaped any element of therapeutic benefit from therapy. So that alone is a huge jump forward in this. And then the other really has to do with the quieting of any cynicism that would be applied to this because it's dangerous. Right? So it, yeah. It's logical to think that you're going to put a catheter in the brainstem and infuse all this fluid and you're going to hurt children. And that doesn't make sense for a child that only has 5, 6, 7 months left of life. Why would you do this? But now that we can do this, and we've done this very safely to the point that we're sending these kids home the following day, and it's been remarkable from the standpoint of the safety element and the drug delivery element. So great capacity here now to interface with industry, with pharmaceutical companies, with investigators across the globe to try and now optimize this.
Yeah, and in optimizing it, one of the things would be, I would assume, right, testing different drugs and combinations?
Yeah, without question. I wish I had 10 lifetimes and 10 more people in my laboratory doing this. You know, every one of it, and it's challenging, right? I mean, to drive a clinical trial like this, which took us 4 years to complete, and I will say, you know, 15-plus years to lay the groundwork for, with a price tag of foundation money, and we've had very generous individuals and foundations rise to the occasion, you know, just shy of $2 million to drive this trial. Now, think about the multitude of agents that are out there that we'd love to experiment with, and you can do a lot of work in the laboratory to screen, but every time you embark on bringing this into a clinical front, you're dealing with that degree of effort. So it becomes very problematic. At the same time, one needs to be extremely disciplined in their selection of how to design a trial to make sure you're going to get the most information out of that clinical trial and that investment of time and effort and money.
Yeah, what does that mean for your team when you're talking about the other people involved in this? You all had to be thrilled when you knew that you had some success with this, right?
Yeah, I mean, no more than me, but without question. I can't enough praise assigned to the individuals who have helped with this. And that's industry, institution, and it extends well beyond what I've been doing. And it's really been remarkable. But I will tell you that the shared enthusiasm and the drive comes from the inherent belief that we can do better, that we can cure other cancers in kids of the same age, but because the cancer affects a different organ, we shouldn't be satisfied with that. We should believe in that we can, if we can cure one cancer, there's no reason we can't cure another cancer. But yes, it might involve a different strategy, and it might involve a much different technology. But the drive to do that is because of the belief that, one, we can do it and have done it, and two is to watch the grief and the suffering of these parents is an amazingly powerful motivation to do better. And if for anyone who associates, and you mentioned you have friends with children who have been afflicted, if you listen and watch and understand what they go through, there's no greater motivation to do a better job and to improve the outcome for these kids.
Well, congratulations, Doctor, on the work that you're doing there, and to hear your passion is just absolutely phenomenal, wonderful. As you said, 15 years of work, the 4 years to complete, I can only imagine what a giant, giant effort. Dr. Mark Swaydan from Cornell Weill, thank you so much.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, but we're not finished. Until we consistently cure these children, then you can congratulate me, and I'll certainly accept that congratulations. I appreciate the time this morning.
I love it, Doc. Thank you so much.
Thank you as well.
Want to save money in a place that gives you growth, control, and certainty without stock market risk or tax risk, and you want guarantees and you want it all tax-free? That's a tall order. But you can get all of that with properly designed participating whole life insurance. Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But you can have tax-free access to use your life insurance while you're alive. Get the free book to find out how. Call 702-660-7000.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.